This is Free Thought Radio with your hosts, Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us, only sky.
And this is Free Thought Radio.
And I'm Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist.
Free Thought Radio is the weekly production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, which is a national organization working to promote free thought, which means using reason when you form your opinion about religion rather than faith or tradition or authority, and working for separation of church and state, and based in Madison, Wisconsin, with members in every state.
And another joke came in. Philip Appleman, the poet, whom we have interviewed on our show a number of times, sent this one. Dad hit his thumb and yelled, "Oh, heck!" And the kid said, "Daddy, what is heck?" And the daddy said, "Heck is where you go if you don't believe in gosh."
Coming up, Ron Reagan. We'll talk with him about why he's such an unabashed atheist, and from such an early age, even while his father, Ronald Reagan, was a seated president, Ron Reagan never hesitated to be honest about his rejection of religion.
And the upcoming interview will preview Ron Reagan's appearance on Friday, November 6th at the Freedom From Religion Foundation's 32nd annual convention in Seattle.
And in a few minutes, we'll be talking with a woman in California about why she decided to object to prayers at her city council meetings in Lodi, California. And that will be Karen Buchanan, one of our RF members who asked the foundation to complain about prayer, and that kicked off a whole summer of religious right rallies and free thought counter protests, city council hearings, and lots of media, including a story in the New York Times about 10 days ago.
And that story quoted you, in addition to Karen, it quoted you as well, didn't it?
Yes, it did. And before we get Karen on the phone, if you're in the Las Vegas area, look for 10 FFRF billboards all over town.
Sin City is finally really going to hell. Las Vegas.
No, we're trying to bring it respectability.
4 of the 12 by 24 foot billboards praise Darwin. 3 caution to beware of dogma. And 3 others ask passersby to imagine no religion.
And we want to quickly report the sentencing last week of Wisconsin parents who prayed instead of taking their diabetic 11-year-old dying daughter to the doctor.
Dale and Leilani Newman were defiant even at the sentencing on October the 6th.
When it is the appointed time, nobody has the power to save life unless it is the will of God to do so. Guilty of doing the will of my Heavenly Father.
Okay, that wasn't very good sound, but that was Dale Newman.
The father of the girl who died.
The little girl who died at the sentencing in Wausau, Wisconsin, October 6th. And let me read you the full quote. First, he told the judge he reads the Bible, and then he said, "I am guilty of trusting my Lord's wisdom completely, guilty of asking for heavenly intervention, guilty of following Jesus Christ when the whole world does not understand, guilty of obeying my God."
Yes, he's guilty. They are guilty of doing nothing as their daughter sickened for months and then died. They received a mixture of probation and serving 30 days a year in jail for 6 years. This is believed to be the very first sentencing of parents for faith healing, well, for failed faith healing in Wisconsin.
And we think the only memorial, the only fitting memorial for this 11-year-old girl, Kara Newman, is for the Wisconsin State Legislature to immediately repeal Wisconsin's faith exemption, which shields parents from responsibility if they pray instead of taking gravely ill children in for medical evaluation, an exemption that will be used, by the way, in their appeal.
If you're listening in Wisconsin, get behind Wisconsin Representative Therese Berceau's proposal for a clean repeal in Kara's name.
And Free Thought Radio would be remiss not to mention the oral arguments heard last week by the U.S. Supreme Court in the Mojave Cross case.
The Freedom From Religion Foundation, thanks to staff attorney Rebecca Kratz, filed, and we talked about this on the previous show, a very strong friend of the court brief, an amicus brief in that case. We spoke up for the rights of non-theists in the military. Congressional action to intervene to keep a cross on federal land as a so-called war memorial excludes not only atheist and agnostic vets, but all non-Christian vets.
And you can read FFRF's amicus brief at FFRF.org. Just scroll down when you come to the news releases. And I wasn't very happy, by the way, that six Supreme Court justices, five Roman Catholic Supreme Court justices, turned up for the annual so-called Red Mass put on by the Archdiocese of Washington, D.C. every year to pray over the new Supreme Court term. That happened last Sunday, and the only Catholic justice missing this year was Justice Thomas, I'm sure not because he didn't agree with them, and also showing up, Interior Secretary Ken Salazar. He's the one being sued in the Supreme Court case heard last week, the guy who's promoting the giveaway of federal land to save crosses in the middle of federal preserves, and also showing up, Catholic Vice President Joe Biden.
And at that Red Mass, Cardinal Daniel Ninado, the Archbishop of Galveston, delivered a homily against abortion, and he warned of a, quote, purifying divine fire from the Lord. What are these justices doing going year after year to a denominational event put on to influence their votes on hot button upcoming Supreme Court cases?
I don't know. And do you think they'd show up if we had an annual non-prayer breakfast for the Supreme Court?
We could call it a critical mass, what we could call it.
I'm Annie Laura Gaylor with Dan Barker. Coming up, a California woman who wants her city officials to pray on their own time, not on government time.
And also coming up, Ron Reagan.
Hi, my name is Jeff Dietz, and I'm from Hoppin Estates, Illinois, and I'm on Free Thought Radio.
Or if you have a problem with organized religion, there is a new radio show just for you. The Liberal Radio Network, Air America, has a new program called Free Thought Radio.
This is Free Thought Radio on Air America.
And we're back. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. Coming up on the second half of Free Thought Radio, unabashed atheist Ron Reagan.
In a minute, we'll talk with an unabashed state church advocate from California over a huge prayer controversy in the town of Lodi, California. First, let's listen to coverage by KCRA-TV Sacramento.
Back to our top story this morning. In Lodi, City Council taking on the big issue, should prayer be included in City Council meeting?
A lot of people at the meeting last night. KCR3's Brian Hickey joining us now live from Lodi with reaction to all of that.
And after weeks of lead up to this meeting and after hours of debate at that meeting, the Lodi City Council voted unanimously last night to keep prayer before its meetings and work to adopt a new policy. Now, however, the council is noting that they will adopt this policy that encourages prayer from all religious and non-religious groups. The invocation will also be held before the meeting is called to order. This all comes after a legal challenge from a group called the National Freedom From Religion Foundation. They allege the city council went against its own policy of non-sectarian and non-denominational prayer when they mentioned Jesus during prayer. After 3 hours of public testimony, the council voted in favor of keeping the prayers before meetings. Now, this policy will be drafted to adopt these new amendments to it, and they say that they will eventually vote on that down the road when it's ready.
Unanimous decision. I think it represents the majority of Lodi citizens. I think we voted the way the citizens of Lodi would want us to vote.
Lodi is not a Christian town. It may be majority Christian, but it's not Christian, and we live in a republic.
We are in downtown Lodi. We'll get some more reaction to this decision, which happened after 11 o'clock last night. Live in Lodi, I'm Brian Hickey, KCRA 3 reports.
So we won't have that reaction, but we do want to welcome our guest, Lodi FFRF member Karen Buchanan, whose complaint to FFRF started the whole ball rolling. And welcome to Free Thought Radio, you troublemaker.
Yes, thank you very much.
Now, can you briefly tell us how you came to find out that the council was praying and why you were offended?
Well, I attended a city council meeting, and I was really kind of shocked because I've attended city council meetings in other towns in California, and there hasn't been prayer. So,
how long have you lived in Lodi?
About a little over 3 years now.
So that was the first council meeting you happened to go to?
When?
You hadn't been to a council meeting until, what, last spring or summer?
Actually, it was a little, it was about that time.
And I know that you contacted us because you were shocked that they were praying to Jesus. And why did that shock you?
Well, it just seemed out of place, and it didn't seem to be something. I didn't go to the council meeting to go to church. And so that whole arrangement seemed just totally out of place. I felt uncomfortable with being, into a church service and being asked to bow my head and to, stand and to show respect to a God that's not part of who I am.
Yeah, and you don't normally go to church then, do you?
No, I don't.
Just when you go to City Hall, I guess.
No, I didn't expect it. It was quite a shock because I've gone to other city councils and that's never been an issue, and so it didn't even occur to me that would happen.
Now, you contacted us, and typically we make complaints on behalf of our members, but we don't use their names. We don't need to. We write on your behalf. And so as this was progressing and becoming more and more of a big deal around California and even around the nation, at first, we weren't using your name. You weren't public. What made you decide to go public?
Well, actually, I think it's a number of different things. We had an organizer come forward, David Diskin, and we had a local organization come together. And at our first rally, the action alerts by FFRF turned out a great number of people from Sacramento, two different organizations. And I was just bowled over because I had felt as though I was alone. And as our organizations built and people from the Lodi area actually itself came to our rally, I just felt more and more support that I could speak out. And so I did make a public statement the other night at the public hearing. So.
And you not only identified yourself at the public hearing and made a strong statement, but you were quoted in the New York Times. And have you gotten reaction from that?
Well, I have. I've had a couple of news outlets contact me and want interviews. I haven't as yet done any more because I really want to see what happens with the invocation policy and how that plays out.
Yeah, so the policy hasn't been adopted yet.
No, it hasn't even been brought forward. There's an outline in the meeting from the other night, but it's not really clear how it's going to be formulated.
So the vote was not a good vote. We had asked that the city's own policy of non-sectarian prayer, at least that policy, be enforced. But what was the outcome, Karen, of that vote?
The outcome was to have uncensored prayer.
They called
and
it uncensored prayer.
5-0, all of the council members voting for that.
Now, there were at least two council members who went public saying that Lodi is a Christian community, that they're the majority, so why shouldn't there be Christian prayer?
Right. There was quite a bit of, from two different council members. One had the idea that her perception was that the majority should rule in this instance, which, of course, the First Amendment is specifically for protecting minority interests. So I'm really kind of disgruntled at the amount of knowledge that the city council members had or had, access to.
The lack of knowledge in the face of all this eloquent testimony that we know they heard about what the Bill of Rights means, which is that we have freedom of conscience and we protect the minority from the tyranny of the majority.
Right.
But that doesn't seem to hold sway. The Bill of Rights doesn't seem to be too meaningful.
You mean we don't have majority rule in this country?
Now, what would you say to explain the difference to someone who's mixed up about, freedom of conscience versus majority rule?
Well, that's what the limitations of the Bill of Rights was about, was actually allowing religious liberty, and that means you have to keep government out of it. And as I'm becoming more and more educated in terms of the framing of the Constitution and what was going on in history, it's clear to me that was the intent, was to take a new turn in terms of, this had never been seen before in history, that the government was to remain secular, and that would allow religion to flourish and people to make their own choice about that, and that it would remain within the community and be supported by the community and not be messed with by the government.
Well, that's a very good explanation. And when I talked with you, you called me last week after the meeting, and you were really angry. And you said to me, I'm ready to sue if this gets adopted. Do you still feel that way?
Yeah, I do. I feel that this needs to be challenged. I'm not an attorney, of course, but I feel as though that the way that they are trying to circumvent the First Amendment and the Establishment Clause by putting it before the meeting and before the gavel, but still have it on the agenda. Some of the propositions that came forward that they're going to include in the policy still is their meeting. It is a government meeting.
With religion. Well, thank you so much, Karen Buchanan, for defending the separation of church and state on a local level. We're proud of you and happy to work with you.
Thank you very much, Annie Laurie.
I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. Next, we will be checking in with Ron Reagan. He calls himself an unabashed atheist. Even while he was the son of a seated president, he's now host of the Ron Reagan Show over this network, over the Air America Network, out of Seattle. So stay tuned for a scintillating conversation with Ron Reagan.
Find out more about Free Thought Radio and the Freedom From Religion Foundation at FFRF.org. or phone 1-800-335-4021. This is Free Thought Radio. Beware of dogma.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor with Dan Barker for Free Thought Radio, and our guest today is Ron Reagan.
Did you hear me barking on that music?
I did.
Beware of dogma. Ron Reagan will be speaking Friday night, November the 6th, at the opening of the 32nd Annual Freedom From Religion Foundation in Seattle, Washington. Of course, he needs no introduction, but some people may not know that this host of Air America's Ron Reagan Show out of Seattle has never been shy about professing his skepticism of religion, even while his father, Ronald Reagan, was the seated president. In a 2004 New York Times interview called The Sun, S-O-N, The Sun Also Rises, Ron Reagan was asked if he'd like to be U.S. president, and he replied, "I would be unelectable. I'm an atheist. As we all know, that is something people won't accept." And at his father's funeral in 2004, Ron Reagan said, "Dad never made the fatal mistake of so many politicians wearing his faith on his sleeve to gain political advantage." These and similar comments prompted us at the Freedom From Religion Foundation to offer Ron Reagan the Oscar of Free Thought. It's an award called The Emperor Has No Clothes. It's a statuette and an award which he kindly accepted. Ron, welcome back to Free Thought Radio.
Well, Dan, thank you very much. And Annie Laurie, good to talk to you again.
Yes. Now, Ron, the comments that you made in 2004 that you would be unelectable as an atheist, do you think anything is changing?
No, not really.
I agree with you.
That's particularly true of higher office, of course. I'm sure that there are probably some atheists who are members of the House of Representatives, for instance, or certainly in state or local government. But when you're talking about national office and high-profile national office, I still think, and the polls, I believe, bear me out, that the majority of Americans would simply refuse to vote for somebody who was a professed atheist. That doesn't mean that all the people that are in the high positions of government and professing their various religious beliefs are sincere in those beliefs. Some of them might actually be atheists too, but
what
they just
do you
won't
know?
Let on.
What do you know that we don't?
Well, that's just intuition on my part.
So what you mean is that an honest atheist is unelectable.
Yes, exactly. If you were out to come out and profess your atheism, your lack of belief in a deity, then I think most people in the country still to this day would probably consider you somebody who ought not to be in the Oval Office. So that's unfortunate, but I'm afraid it's the reality.
Well, what is it going to take to turn this bigotry around?
Well, that's a good question. It'll either be greater acceptance of atheism or greater rejection of religion itself. And I think both of those things, and they'll sort of go together, I think, are going to be a while in coming. I mean, we see that people who don't profess any allegiance to a particular religion or theology are among the fastest growing faith groups, if you will, or lack of faith groups in this case, in the country. About 15% now of the country does not profess any particular religious belief.
And growing.
Maybe agnostics. Yeah, and growing. And that's just the people that admit that. Because, again, there's a lot of animosity towards atheists, a lot of fear and misunderstanding. And so a lot of people probably don't cop to that. When I made the statement that I did in 2004, which is had for a little bit of time been my kind of standard reply to somebody asking me if I was going to run for office, and that was just a way to really end the conversation. It's honest, but it was I didn't really think that it would get that much of a reaction or be that much of a big deal. But I found out differently. Many people took real exception to my simply stating a fact that I don't happen to believe in God.
Well, maybe you just don't want to run for office, and that's a good
Well, there's that, too. Yeah, beyond being an atheist.
Making yourself unelectable.
Terribly cut out to be a politician at all. Well, so there's that.
Well, you are doing your bit, though, aren't you? I mean, you're speaking out, and what I think is so amazing is that you have been speaking out as an atheist or a non-believer for, I mean, how many years? Since your teenage years?
I actually am envious in a certain way, and maybe on the 6th of November when I'm speaking to you guys, I'll expand on this a little bit, but a little bit envious of many of you who I imagine came by your atheism honestly, if you will. You wrestled with questions of faith and theology, you had a dark night of the soul, whatever it might be, you intellectually worked your way through to a position of godlessness. I guess, I'm not sure how to describe it exactly, but perhaps more of an intuitive atheist from a very young age. Little kids, tend to be pretty literal-minded, and so I approached religion from that kind of standpoint. And what I discovered, even as a small child, was that that much of it just didn't seem to make sense to me on any level. And so at a very young age, I just sort of let go of all that. And by age 12, I had announced to my parents and, openly had declared that I was an atheist. And never really considered that would be that big of a deal. If friends of mine asked me about it, I'd be open with them. If anybody asked me about it, I would be open about it. I wasn't, wearing a sandwich board around the city or anything. But I just sort of fell into it naturally, and so I don't think I have quite the appreciation that some people do for the struggle that some people undertake to reach that position, and also maybe some of the animosity that people face because of it.
You are a testament to the fact that children are their own people, really. Each child thinks for herself or himself and comes to their own conclusions, regardless of the religious beliefs of their parents.
Well, indeed, and I've always thought that one of the worst enemies of religion is Santa Claus. he's another white bearded white man who bestows gifts upon you if you wish hard for them and behave correctly, and he lives somewhere up there. And yet, we find out that usually by age 7 or so, children find out that this is all a myth and a fantasy. Well, who's a little bit like Santa Claus. And it was also a bit of a myth and a fantasy, no evidence to back it up. It's not a great leap from Santa Claus to Yahweh.
You know, Dan has written a children's book called Just Pretend, and that's the whole theme of it.
Yeah, yeah.
It takes the Santa parallel.
He's making a list and checking it twice, and you're going to be judged.
Yeah,
all
he
that
knows
stuff.
Who's naughty and nice.
Well, you might like to know about the foundation's new bus campaign. It's going to start in November in Seattle.
Oh, really? Yeah.
And it's a billboard or bus sign that was designed by Steve Benson, who's the atheist editorial cartoonist at the Arizona Republic, former Mormon. And it's got, he drew Santa, and then it says, "Yes, Virginia, there is no God." What do you think?
I think that's pretty good.
And how many buses is that going to be on?
It's going to be on 100.
100 buses next month, huh?
Yeah, so he might make a splash in Seattle.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm sure that there are many people will be deeply offended by
that.
Well,
that's not the intent. I mean, I just think it's so funny, but yeah, I suppose there'll be controversy.
Yeah, you know, and I'm sure it's not your intent to offend, but it is remarkable how offended religionists get when anybody poses any questions or expresses any doubts about their religion. And I've always, even again, as a young kid, seen that as a kind of insecurity on their part. I think one of the reasons that atheism is so fraught with peril for a lot of people is that their own faith is really pretty rickety, and they know that it won't withstand much of a challenge, and they just don't want to hear the challenge. So they run away from it, and they wall you off somewhere.
Of course, our bus sign does not say there's no Santa Claus.
No.
So. Now that would really
well,
be controversial.
You see them in front of the department stores all the time.
Well, and I think that when you say that you didn't go through a struggle, still it was kind of like your bunk meter was very good. When you were a child, you were demanding evidence, proof. You were taking an intellectual position. And did you know anybody else who wasn't religious when you grew up?
Well, I'm sure I must have, but I didn't discuss it with anybody, and none of my friends seemed to be of my mind around this, although none of them seemed to be all that religious either. It's hard for me to explain how I became an atheist because I was so young, and it just seems like I've always been that way. I mean, you know, when you're very little, you just sort of accept what your parents tell you about things, whether it's Santa Claus or God. But as I said, from a rather early age, I just, you know, there were too many discrepancies that made me uncomfortable. The story of Abraham and Isaac, for instance, was it Abraham and Isaac or Abraham Jacob? I always forget, but it's the father
who's
going to, who's been ordered to kill his son. I read that in Sunday school, and I thought, hey, wait a minute here. What God that anybody would want to worship is going to be playing around with somebody like this? You know, inducing him to try and murder his own child, and then, you know, just intervening at the last minute, you know, kind of, oh, just kidding there. You know, what sort of deity would do something like that? I started looking at my own father and wondering, you know, if your God tells you to murder me, you're going to do it? Because I'll tell you, if he tells me to murder you, my answer is going to be, screw you.
No,
you know, that's not a God I want to obey.
You are a real free thinker. I'm Dan Barker with Andy Laurie Gaylor. We're talking with Ron Reagan, and we'll be back in just a minute or two to continue the conversation.
Hi, my name is Jim from Madison, Wisconsin, and I'm on Free Thought Radio.
Margaret Sanger's motto was, no gods, no masters.
And we're back. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. Next week, our guest will be Ursula K. Le Guin, the great science fiction and fantasy author, who will also be speaking at the 32nd Annual National Convention of the Freedom From Religion Foundation in Seattle in early November. And the following week, for the weekend of October 24th, our guest will be Donald C. Johansson, the discoverer of Lucy, the famous fossil in Ethiopia. And we'll find out how he feels about Lucy being recently displaced by RD.
And we're so pleased to have with us today Ron Reagan, host of The Ron Reagan Show over Air America, a speaker at our upcoming conference in Seattle. And Ron, I'm wondering if I can, I want to talk a little bit about stem cells because I know that's a special interest. But before that, can I ask you a personal question?
Sure.
I wanted to know how the GOP treats you.
How the GOP what?
Well, treats you.
Don't
I mean, how do the Republican standard bearers treat you? Do they give you the cold shoulder? Are they nice?
Not exactly. I think they're a bit wary of me. I think they're certainly of two minds. On the one hand, of course, I'm the progeny of their icon, Ronald Reagan, and that leads them to, I'm sure, see me in a certain light. On the other hand, I confound their expectations, I guess, by not being conservative, and that probably angers a lot of them. In fact, I know it angers a lot of them. So there's some hard feelings over there on that side. They're generally pretty polite to my face, but but behind my back, I'm sure they're not real pleased.
Well, I just had to ask that question. I've often wondered how your reception was, and. Now, with the stem cell embargo being lifted, have you been following the stem cell controversy and how the problem with the fact that therapeutic cloning is still not possible in this country?
Well, and that is a huge problem, and it goes right to the heart of the issue and the scientific illiteracy. On the one hand, of many members of Congress, they've created a distinction between embryos, which can be obtained from in vitro fertilization clinics, where they've been created for the express purpose of creating a life. They are unique genetic entities, the meeting of a sperm and egg and two different DNAs, and these are the ones, oddly enough, that Congress has decided are all right to use in experimentation for stem cell research. Now, I have no problem with that. That's fine. After all, they are going to be thrown out, many of them discarded, and why not use them to save people's lives instead? That's fine, but they're not as useful as laboratory-created embryos because you can't tailor them to a specific disease. One of the benefits of embryonic stem cell research and creating stem cell lines in the laboratory is not just for the sort of gold standard of being able to inject stem cells into somebody's body and have them replace diseased or damaged tissue in the body. That's still a hope that many people have. But you can also use those stem cell colonies or the individual stem cells to learn more about the genesis of a certain disease. So there's that reason scientifically that it's problematic we're going with the IVF embryos. But on the other hand, why do those embryos have a lesser moral standing to some Republicans like, say, Orrin Hatch than the laboratory created embryos, which, after all, are not unique genetic entities? They are not the result of sperm meeting egg. You have a donor egg, yes, but its nucleus and thereby its DNA has been removed. And then you're talking about taking somebody's skin cell and putting it in the place of the nucleus in the donor egg, treating that with chemicals, and that magically almost, I mean, it really does, it's astonishing, it behaves as if a conception has taken place and begins to divide thusly into stem cells. You know, why should that entity have a higher moral standing than the unique genetic entity created in the IVF clinic? Again, I would be fine using either stem cells or either embryos for use in stem cell research, but the making a distinction between the two and distinguishing them the way they have in Congress makes absolutely no scientific or moral sense.
Maybe it's the religious taboo against playing God, that we're treading in ground that we humans are not supposed to go into.
Well, yeah, that might be on the minds of some people. I think on the minds of the people in Congress, it's how do we mollify our religious right constituents who also don't understand the science of this issue? So we're just going to throw them a bone here. By disallowing the laboratory-created stem cell line.
Well, we're running out of time, but do you see any movement in the Obama administration to take this on?
No, thus far I do not. I think they're, of course, quite distracted by other issues. He did sign the bill that would allow for some federal funding of some stem cell lines from the IVF clinics, and for that, I'm grateful. I think that's a step in the right direction, but it isn't nearly far enough. And the reasons for not going far enough are frankly bogus.
And, well, Francis Collins says he supports therapeutic cloning. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I mean, he's going to be the head of the NIH. But
Well, unfortunately, the head of the NIH doesn't actually make policy. So we'll just have to see how it goes. I'm still hopeful that down the line we can move further on this. But
now
we seem to be stuck.
Well, we are looking forward to meeting you in person in early November at the FFRF convention in Seattle. And we really appreciate you joining us today. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you, guys. Look forward to it, too.
And we also want to thank Dan Ginsberg, the engineer of Free Thought Radio. This program is recorded in Madison, Wisconsin. Our announcer is Buzz Kemper. And go to our website, ffrf.org/radio, to hear this archived and podcast.
And it's available on iTunes. You can call 1-800-335-4021 if you want a sample copy of our newspaper, Free Thought Today, or request it at our website at ffrf.org and plug into our activism and our action alerts. And we want to remind you to tune in next week for Ursula K. Le Guin and the week after Donald C. Johanson. Tune in next week for more blasphemous broadcasting.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker.